This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Wednesday, and that means I'm here with Joy Behar. This is Behind the Table. It is Wednesday. We are here. Joy is hungry, as she often is after the show.
But I am.
That's to be expected.
Well, I get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock. I have something.
Yeah.
My husband actually made me French toast this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I figure it's an egg, so yeah. That's good. I can't stand to look at an egg. I hate eggs. But in that situation, with syrup on, it was good.
It's 12:15, so usually we have a snack at this point for you.
Yeah, kettle corn. But
your kettle corn, but it's not here. We're working on it. All right, let's get some kettle corn. And it is important to regulate moods, I find, in this position.
Food
regulates moods, generally.
Yeah, that's right.
But you've been kind of in a great mood this week.
I had 5 days off.
Yeah, I know.
Must be it.
Yeah, it must be it. But
there were tragedies all around this week, too.
Yeah.
People that I know have died this week. And it's not that I'm in a good mood because they're dead.
It puts you in perspective, I think.
The
stuff that bothers you here isn't that important.
That's true.
That's what it is. All right, so speaking of things that may or may not bother us, I've been handed a fan letter. It's addressed to you. It's been handed to me in a sealed envelope. I have not seen it yet, but I am going to read it now. I don't know why.
Why did they send it?
The producers gave this. I have not seen this either.
All right.
It was sent on 11/17. Dear Joy, I sure would like to receive your lasagna recipe, please. Of course. Anyway, I just wanted to say hi and tell you ladies how lucky you are to work with Brian. Oh, how about that?
This is a fan letter to me or you?
It's a fan letter to you, but apparently they appreciate
me. Your wife or your mother?
I'm not to the end. Let's find out. He seems like a very nice man. Kind of cute. Oh, how about that? And I love it when he's on camera. Look at this. This is wonderful. I hope he's as nice as he looks. That's it. Have a great day and enjoy the view. I do. How about that recipe? I do everything by snail mail. Take care and keep me laughing. Sincerely, Francis, how about that? All right. Well, so the question here obviously is, am I as nice as I look on TV?
I cannot believe the ego that you are now exhibiting.
It's pretty exciting. I'm not going to lie. I can give it to you if you want to keep it.
Well, I'm not in the business of really sending my lasagna recipe. Go on our website. It's sitting there.
Well, listen, anybody who thinks that I'm kind of cute, I'm happy to provide the recipe for. So
I think that's adorable.
Yeah, so let's get...
And you need to hear this every once
in a while. I do. I don't hear it at home. I don't hear it here.
I
need to hear it. But
that's nice.
I might frame this in my office.
And begging for fan mail is a little bit... stupid.
I didn't beg for it. It just came. It came dressed
to
you.
I think it's interesting that they didn't tell you what was in it beforehand.
No, they didn't. I think the people, it's the end of the year. We're having meetings about raises and stuff. That's probably what this is.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to Fran from Georgia.
All right.
So that's very exciting. Now, speaking of exciting, before Thanksgiving, I heard that you had a run-in. You ran into some Trump supporters outside of Trump Tower. Now, this is not unusual for you because you're on television talking about politics all the time, but you don't mind running into people that don't feel the same way as you
Absolutely
about things.
Absolutely not. I enjoy it.
So tell me what happened.
I mean, I had an incident in the casino, a couple of years ago
we were in the Bahamas.
Where I was playing with the Trump supporters.
And, yes.
As long as you don't – look, I'm perfectly fine with all your politics, but you've got to pull with a 16 against a 10. You've got to. Primary premise of blackjack is that there are mostly tens in the deck.
Yes.
So you must assume that the dealer has a 10.
Yes, at all times.
You assume that, you know how to play. Can you beat a 20? He's got a picture card showing. Assume he has a 20. You have a 16. You cannot beat that with a 16. You've got to take a card.
Right, exactly. But you had a run in a casino, at first it was a little something, and then you started
and then
playing, and they loved you.
With me.
Yeah,
it was fine.
That always
so
happens.
The same thing happened to me. When was it? A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you were on Fifth Avenue.
I was on Fifth Avenue with two of the producers here.
Mm-hmm.
We were going shopping, and I saw that Trump supporters were standing in front of Trump Tower. They were selling those hats.
Yes.
And they had the hats on, and it was a whole Megillah with the hats and the whole thing.
Yeah, and most people, I feel like, if you spend a lot of your life on television talking about how you're not a fan of President Trump— would walk away from these things, but you walk towards them.
I do. I'm interested in their point of view.
Yes.
I want to hear what they have to say.
Yes.
So I said, would you guys mind if I took a picture of you?
Yeah.
And they were very happy to do it. I mean, they unfurled these big banners with the name Trump on it, and they posed. I'll show you the picture later.
Yeah.
And I said, thank you. I took the picture and I said, thank you. And as I'm walking away, one of them yells out, you know, you could be a hot Joy Behar.
And what did you say to that?
I said, I am a hot Joy Behar. And my Robin starts yelling, don't talk to people. You don't know what they're doing. So that's what happened.
That's pretty good.
It actually was an incredible compliment to me, I think.
Yeah, I think
Although they must think that I'm some like old crone on television.
They don't watch.
But then they know me, though.
Yeah, everybody knows you.
But they have an idea of me.
They have an idea of you from the memes or the screenshots or anything else. That's all they see.
Yeah.
But there you go. I think that's to be celebrated that you're talking to people and, you know, you don't stay away from people that have a different opinion than you.
I wish that they would come to the View and sit in the audience so we can talk to them. I would love to hear about that.
Yeah.
Even when I was doing stand-up, if there was a Trump supporter in the audience,
right.
I would question them. Well, what is it you like about him?
Yeah.
And talk about it.
That doesn't mean we want to be heckled, but it means...
Because these people have a point of view, just like we do.
Right.
And just like we believe that he's going to destroy the country, they believe that he's going to save the country.
Right.
So what are you going to do?
Right.
You have to talk.
No, and so, it happens from time to time. You and Star Jones ran into some people one time after doing one of the reunion shows.
Oh, yeah, she protected me.
Yeah, so, I mean, I personally would prefer you not have conflict of any kind, but I understand that
But life is filled with conflicts.
It is. Speaking of conflicts, backstage conflicts here, have you heard about Vacuumgate? Do you know what's going on?
No.
All right. So this happened yesterday. Sunny Hostin appears in the bullpen with a gigantic vacuum that she's asking for me to empty for her because she can't figure out how to open it. And much like you, she asks me to do household chores.
No, I don't ask you for household chores. Technology.
Technology.
All right.
Yeah, I think this is it's a technologically advanced vacuum of some kind.
Okay.
But she's then telling me that her vacuum, which she bought herself to clean and vacuum her, you've seen her dressing room. It's ridiculous. It's like
clean.
A condo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's well appointed and she wants to keep it pristine.
Right.
Someone had stolen her vacuum and the vacuum, after it was found, was filled with what appeared to be a lot of dog hair.
Uh huh.
She's now trying to track down and accuse who she thinks the guilty party
is. Well, I know that's not my dog. My dog is hypoallergenic.
All right. Well, there we go.
Bernie doesn't shed.
No. Bernie
is she trying to pin this on me?
She's leaning Anna. She's leaning towards Anna.
That little munchkin that she has, that little poodle, doesn't shed.
I don't see either of you picking up a vacuum around the office either. But
she has the look. Sonny has two noofs, Newfoundlands.
Yes.
Those shed big time.
But they haven't been in the office.
No, but maybe that vacuum has been at her house and then she dragged it here.
Or maybe it's on her coat or something.
You don't have to be Sherlock Holmes to figure this one out.
All right. Well,
she took that vacuum home and vacuumed up the hair from those noofs, and now she's trying to pin it on my dog.
Yeah, well,
this is not going to help.
No, I think you might be right.
But I never stole that vacuum cleaner. I wouldn't be caught dead with a vacuum cleaner.
No, I didn't think so. I didn't think so. All right. So
I use a Swiffer.
Oh, all right. Well, there we go. Joy uses a Swiffer. We will eliminate her. I like a Swiffer, too. Today's podcast is brought to you by Shopify. Ready to make the smartest choice for your business? Say hello to Shopify, the global commerce platform that makes selling a breeze. Whether you're starting your online shop, opening your first physical store, or hitting a million orders, Shopify is your growth partner. Sell everywhere with Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. Turn browsers into buyers with Shopify's best converting checkout, 36% better than other platforms. Effortlessly sell more with Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Did you know Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S.? And supports global brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen? Join millions of successful entrepreneurs across 175 countries backed by Shopify's extensive support and help resources. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Start your success story today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view. Put it all in lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/view.
This is Sunny Hostin. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Speaking of the dogs, the View Pooch Pageant is coming up.
Oh, the Pooch Pageant.
I got to tell you, the hosts are coming for Bernie. I mean...
Why are they coming for my dog?
I think he's considered the biggest threat to win. You know, they're very competitive, these ladies. They want to win.
Why is Bernie the biggest threat? Because he has the most followers.
He has the most followers. I mean, you know, Cha-Cha also very well known with our fan base. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Bernie and Cha-Cha are kind of the lead pets.
Well, because they're in the office all the time.
They're in the office all the time.
So when Bernie comes into this building, he goes, he loves the building. Yeah. He runs and he barely runs away from my husband because he loves my husband the most because he feeds him and walks him.
But he's so happy to be here.
He comes because he knows the girls are going to go crazy for him. It's like a guy.
Yeah. No, they're
coming into like a harem of girls who love him.
Yes. All right. So this contest it's having is going to be judged by a pet expert of some kind, and also Sarah Haynes is going to judge this.
Well, she has no dog.
She has no dog, but a dog lover, and she's going to come and she's going to help pass judgment on here. Are you confident in Bernie as...
Well, what's the contest about?
Well, there's a lot of... We haven't really given all of the categories yet, but it's about, you know, appearance, energy, you know, general personality... And if they have any skills of any kind, will they come?
Skills?
Will they come when called? Will they do anything?
Okay, Bernie vacuums.
Bernie vacuums. Oh, there we go. Anna Navarro was texting the producer who's producing this morning, asking for details exactly how Cha-Cha can win this thing. She's very, very...
very competitive, these girls.
Very competitive.
But you know what? I have no qualms about this.
Yeah.
No dog in this crowd can compete with Bernie.
Yeah. You know, Sonny's bringing two dogs.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What, she has two shots at this thing?
Apparently, yeah. She's bringing Manny to take care of the other dog because she couldn't choose between them. But I think she wants another.
You know, I think my daughter's dog, Jack, might be coming on Friday.
Oh, really? Uh-oh.
He sheds. That dog sheds.
All right. Well, then we'll have to get Sonny's vacuum ready.
Yeah.
All right. So this is exciting, but right. There's a lot of jealousy. It's very important, and it's going to really change the way the table interacts with each other after this.
Yeah. Listen, those bitches haven't got a chance against Bernie.
Speaking of dogs, we talked about a story in Hot Topics this morning. It didn't make it to the show, but it was about who is responsible when a young child comes up to a dog and they bite or growl back. Has that ever happened with Bernie? Bernie's friendly, I assume, but when...
Bernie has never bitten anybody.
Right.
Does he growl? I had a dog, my last dog, Max.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't... He'd be on the bed with Steve... Oh, with me, rather.
Yeah.
With me. And Steve would try to get into the bed, and he growled at Steve. He couldn't get in the bed.
And what did you do when that happened? Because my wife would toss me out of the bed for the dog anyway.
Well, I'd have to, like, talk the dog off the ledge.
Okay.
Come on, Max. It's okay. Daddy can come in the bed. I've had a lot. I had a Phoebe, a basset hound I had, who ate an entire tray of lasagna one time. She was like a stuffed animal after that.
Oh, no.
I had two basset hounds, Molly and Phoebe. When they'd walk down the stairs, it sounded like people were typing. Max was a humper also.
Oh, that's a problem.
Max was a humper. Also wouldn't let Steve in the bed. And I'm trying to think of, and my first dog when I was a kid was Pudgy. He would eat the sofa.
Oh, well, yeah. That probably made him pudgy.
So they gave him away, and they told me he ran away. They always tell kids, don't tell kids
farm
that the
in
dog
Connecticut.
Ran away.
My dog was on a farm in Connecticut.
It makes you, well, that at least they told the dog had a place to go. But my family, they go, yeah, he ran away. I have anxiety. What happened to the dog?
I had a dog that ran away on July 4th because of fireworks. You had a similar thing happen with Bernie, I remember.
Yes.
And this was, the dog was on a screened porch and got so freaked out that it jumped through the screen.
Oh,
and into
God.
The night.
It was like and Evel Knievel.
I was heartbroken. It was a golden retriever. I was heartbroken. For days, we couldn't find the dog. Finally, we go to the shelter, the pound, or whatever it was.
It was
and
there.
We found the dog, and I'm so excited. And I said, that's my dog. And they said, oh, it's the bite case. Ooh.
Why? What do you mean?
My dog bit somebody on the run.
He was so anxious, probably.
That's the thing.
Poor
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Did you get
Reggie.
Him back?
We got him back. It was fine. And then, but eventually, it did...
They freak out. Don't watch your dogs on when there's fireworks.
Didn't one of your dogs marry Barbara Walters'
yes.
dog?
Yes, Max,
yes.
the humper, married another dog.
Cha-cha, Barbara Walters' dog.
And it's Tony Randall, the great Tony Randall officiated.
Oh, my goodness.
You should show that sometime.
I think maybe we'll bring that up on the dog pageant. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
The amount of things you've done on the show that you've later forgotten about.
I know. Line dancing in Texas.
Yeah.
Riding electric horses. Oh, my God. It's unbelievable.
I have
what
one where you're like dancing with Beyonce and like, you know, shaking your butt into hers. And I'm looking at this. I'm like, I bet you have no recollection that happened.
I don't remember that. But how about when Whoopi pushed me up a pole?
That's a classic. That one we've seen. But yeah, it all adds up. All right. So we talked about this topic also yesterday on the show. We talked about how much looks matter in a relationship. And basically, someone had written in and said that, you know, they love this girl, except they weren't attracted to her. Everything
they
about her was
great.
They
said she wasn't pretty.
Yeah. They like, he loved everything but her face.
I had a girlfriend, one of my friends, who's passed away.
Yes.
She had died. But when she was alive, we'd go out, you know, and hang out together. One time, a guy, she met a guy, and he said to her, you know, I can't sleep with you. Because you're not pretty enough. He actually said that to her.
Oof. How'd she react?
I said to her, what insulting things to say to somebody. She said, well, I didn't mind it because he got it out of the way.
It's like
he wanted to say it, and then he felt better, and then they have sex.
And she wanted...
They had sex.
Oh, they did
that.
Eventually.
Yeah, they did. Because he just wanted to say, look, you're not pretty enough for me, but I want to sleep with you anyway, apparently, and he did.
Oh, so she wasn't pretty enough to date. But pretty enough
well,
to sleep
well,
with.
To marry.
Yeah. Well, you said on the show yesterday, your mother told you that everyone looks the same in the dark and to marry a rich guy.
Yeah.
But you find humor the most important thing, generally.
I do not marry rich men.
Yeah.
I marry civil servants.
Mm-hmm.
I like to make my own money, on the first date I had with Steve, and I was broke. That was a long time ago. We're talking 40 years now.
Right.
I was broke. I had just gotten fired from my job at Good Morning America. I got divorced, so I didn't have any double income or anything. And I went out on a date with him, and he was going to pick up the check. And I said, no, I can pay for myself.
Yeah, you've told me that.
I don't like that sort of... I mean, of course, he can pay now.
Right.
But at the time, I didn't want him to get any idea that I was using him in any way.
So I had an early date with my... So I had a first date with my wife that went pretty well.
Yeah.
The second date was kind of disastrous.
Yeah.
And so we're on the second date, and we ended up in a karaoke bar, and I was drinking, and she wasn't, and I think I sang too loud, and she was clearly like, okay, this isn't happening.
Yeah.
So I went downstairs, and I put her into a cab, and I gave money for the cab to pay for a ride home. It was she lived about a $5 cab ride away, but I gave her a $20.
Oh.
And she's told me later that as she drove away, she thought, I just made $15 because I'm never going to see this guy again.
I thought you were going to say that she was impressed with your largesse.
No. She thought she...
So then how'd you get her back?
I'm good on email. I'm good on the phone and on email, and I got her for a third date.
You lured her back without you being in the room.
Yeah, it took about a month, and then I got a third date, and the third date went better.
Oh, well, you were persistent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to shoot for it.
That's like that book. Nonetheless, she persevered. She persisted. She persisted. That's right. She persisted.
Nonetheless, I persisted and she gave in.
All right.
But yeah, I think humor is important.
I have to have somebody who's funny. My first husband, he was kind of funny at times, too. More intellectual. But Steve is smart, but funny.
Yeah, I think a sense of humor, I can't. exist with somebody, even a friend. I can't really be friends with anybody who isn't
no,
funny.
No, and he's not touchy. You can say things to him. He doesn't get offended.
Right. I get offended.
You get offended. You can't be easily offended in a relationship. That's,
no.
You know, you have to be able to. That's why my friends, what she said, he got it over with. He said I wasn't pretty enough.
All right. Well, the other thing that's happening is it was announced in People magazine that you're writing a book. You've teased this here before, but the headline caught my attention and put me into a mild panic. The headline was that it's a retrospective book about everyone and everything.
I don't know who wrote that blurb.
It's a great blurb.
But I do have a deal to write a book.
Right.
And I've been writing the personal essays, basically. Like I wrote about, I have one that was really, I think is very good,
mm-hmm.
about sexual harassment in the 70s.
That's
and I,
good.
When I was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the 60s it was. The
okay.
late 60s.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and that was one. And then I wrote another one about a shrink I had on who got Alzheimer's
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the session.
Not good.
I mean, that's another one. I will write probably a little bit about my time on The View.
I mean, if I were your publisher, that's what I'd be looking
yeah.
for.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise people won't want to buy the book probably, right?
No, I mean, I like the other two things. But yeah, I mean, if you write personal essays about The View, I mean.
I mean, some of the essays will be funny and some of them are not.
Okay.
Like my father had a nervous breakdown in Asbury Park. I write about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the reason.
Yeah.
It was because he was away from OTB, that he could not take it being in Asbury Park.
Right.
And the guy just freaked out on us and made us all crazy.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, that was another one.
Yeah.
So I tell personal stories about my life.
Well, people would be interested in that.
When I was bullied as a kid in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But I will not. I don't believe in trashing my co-hosts in any way or people. But I'll tell you some stuff.
Right. I mean, there's stories that aren't trashing people that are still compelling and interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I can talk about all of us over the years. And listen, barring maybe a couple, I liked all of them until I didn't like them.
Right.
I gave everybody a shot.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes afterwards you needed a shot, you know?
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you've had something like 23 co-hosts. So, I mean, it's
unbelievable. And I'm an only child and I get along with all my siblings.
Yeah. No, I think especially at the moment, everyone seems to be getting along lovely.
Are they? Are
yeah.
we all getting along nicely now?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. There's no hostility right now.
No, I don't think so.
And you know, people say without the hostility, you're never going to have viewers. That's not true.
No, we're doing quite well.
Better.
So,
see, people like when you flare up maybe once in blue moon, but not every day.
No, you don't want to watch
it's
that.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, we're doing fine.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, always a pleasure.
Is that it?
That's it for today. Thank you for joining me,
Where's
Joy.
My kettle corn?
I don't know. That's really, yeah, I got to tell you, oh, here it comes. All right.
That's all right. I'm having lunch in the cafeteria now anyway.
Well, thank you for joining me today, Joy. Tomorrow, I will be back with Alyssa Farah Griffin.
Yeah.
We'll continue the investigation into the stolen vacuum and much more fun. So thank you for listening.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.